Amen. As we come together on this morning, continuing to give God thanks for all that He has done for us, for allowing us to lay down last night and be able to arise on this morning, to have the activity of our limbs and to be in our right minds, to come to this place in order to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The title of the lesson on this morning is, How is Your Worship? How is your worship? I want us to understand that we can worship God anywhere we please. There are a whole lot of different ways that we worship Him. But as we come together on this morning to assemble here, we are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There are a lot of people that are assembled in one place or another to worship God. And many of those people are not doing what God has commanded them to do. There are three types of worship that I have on the bottom of the screen. One is looking at vain worship. There are some that are worshiping God in vain. There is ignorant worship. Some are worshiping God ignorantly. And then there's self-willed worship. Some are worshiping God self-willed. And then, of course, we have in the middle of the screen, right up under, How is Your Worship? Spirit and truth. That is how we are supposed to worship God. That is what God requires of us, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship Him, if they feel like it, if it's what's best for the people, no, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at vain worship, and we're going to look at ignorant worship, and we're going to look at self-will worship. And we're going to end with the worshiping of God in spirit and in truth. Amen. We've come together this morning to worship Him. We've come together to sing praises unto Him. We've come together to give back a portion of that in which He's allowed us to prosper. We've come back to partake of the Lord's Supper, to worship Him, and to hear His word being proclaimed. Now, if you look through your Bibles, you're not going to see anything that talks about corporate worship. You're not going to see anything that talk about the idea of coming and looking in scriptures to find it pinpointed that this is what you are supposed to do per se. That's what man does. Now, we have examples. We have a command. An example to come together upon the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper in Acts chapter 20 and the verses 7. We have the command to come together or to lay by in store as God has allowed you to prosper upon the first day of the week. So when we come together upon the first day of the week, we give, we partake of the Lord's Supper. And if you go to Acts chapter 20, you will see where the word was being proclaimed as well in verse 7. So we see those things, and they were praying. We see those things that they did upon the first day of the week. So what do we do? As being a part of the first century church, the body of Christ, we do what they did. Now, last Sunday, I said that we was going to talk about worship. Well, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about worship. On next Sunday, we will probably look at and talk about the things that we do when we worship, those things that we just listed. But I want you to know and understand, again, that there are people that are worshiping God that God is not accepting their worship. Yes, they are worshiping God. But I want you to know and understand that every time someone says that they're worshiping God, doesn't mean that God is accepting their worship. Just as someone is giving back to Him and they're not giving with the right attitude, God is not accepting that. Now, if you put it in the collection plate, you're not going to get it back. But God is not accepting that. So he don't want you to come and worship him half-heartedly. He wants you to worship him wholeheartedly, mind, body, and soul. So let's look at this and let's examine it. And let's find out what the Bible says about these four types of worship. The first one, again, is vain worship. And we find in the book of Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 and 9. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 and 9. Jesus is quoting here from Isaiah. And very well should he. Because again, he is the Word. He can use any word in this book that he so desires to use in order to get his point across. And here he's addressing the Pharisees in regard to their worship. So we find these words in Matthew chapter 15, starting with the first verse. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' In vain do they worship me." Have you ever put your mind to doing something? And when it was all said and done, the people that you were doing it for didn't really care about it? That they took those things very lightly? That's what Jesus is saying right here. In vain do you worship me. You're honoring me with your lips. You're saying one thing, but your heart is really not in it. You're really not doing what you're commanded to do. He says, if a man dishonors his mother or father, he should surely be put to death. Now, this is under the old law. They were supposed to be keepers of the law, but what they were doing is they knew the law. They would repeat what the law said, but they would not do it. Is your worship today in vain? Or are you teaching for the doctrines and the commandments of men? Are you doing what God does not accept and offering it unto him? Now, I want us to understand that when we talk about offering something to God, the only thing that God accepts is those things that's pure. You go and you look at the offerings that were made, the sacrifices that were made to him in the Old Testament. Those things had to be without spot or blemish. They had to be perfect. Can you imagine having a herd of sheep and going through those sheep and looking for one that's perfect, that God would accept as an offering unto him, as a sacrifice unto him? I want you to think about the children of Israel. As Jesus told the Pharisees here, the Jews, as he told them, "In vain do you worship me, teaching as the doctrine and the commandments of men," how sinful these people were. Can you imagine that, looking over those people and looking for one of them in order to sacrifice unto God for the salvation of the people? Not one of them, not one of them fit that bill. That is why our Savior had to come to this earth. That is why Jesus had to be crucified, because he fit that bill. His worship before God was what God wanted. He came to do the will of the Father. He was that sacrifice. But these people here that Jesus is addressing, their worship was in vain. Do not allow your worship to be in vain. Do not give him lip service, but give him your heart. Then we find, as we look at this and talk about it, understanding from the book of Titus to chapters 1 and the verse is 14. Titus chapter 1 and the verse is 14. Because we want our worship to be acceptable. We do not want our worship to be in vain before God, but we want our worship to be acceptable before him. He says, starting with verse 10 of Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, starting with verse 10, "For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith." And then we find verse 14, "not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth." These people of God is who he's talking about here, turned away from the truth. But he says, rebuke them sharply that they may know better, that they may learn better. And that's exactly what we need to do today. When people are worshiping God in vain, we need to rebuke them sharply. See, some people, you cannot talk to them in a light manner because it's not going to sink in. Rebuke them sharply. And sometimes that rebuking has to be before somebody else so that they may learn what they need to do in order to be pleasing to God. He says again in verse 14, in verse 14 of chapter 1, "not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth." So we can't listen to what man says worship is according to traditions. We can't listen to that. Of the commands that some man has given, we can't listen to those things. We have to go back to the Bible. We have to go back and see what God has said, and those are the things that we need to do. In Acts chapter 2, when the church was established, when Peter and the other disciples, the apostles, preached the gospel message so that people may understand that they had crucified Jesus, whom God had made both Lord and Christ. When those individuals heard that message, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the other disciples, "There, men and brethren, what shall we do?" What did he tell them? He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now look what the Bible says in verse 41. Verse 41. He says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." About 3,000 souls. Now let's forget about traditions. Let's forget about the commandments of men. And let's see what these individuals did. In verse 42 it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine," or the apostles' teaching, "and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." They did what was right. Their worship was not in vain. Their worship was acceptable before God. And that's what we need to do today. Here is our example of how we're supposed to worship. What we're supposed to do when we come to worship. We break bread. We pray. We are devoted to the apostles' doctrines or the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One and the same. We ourselves do not have a doctrine. We look at what God has said and we do those things. Vain worship. Do not allow your worship to be vain. The Bible says in 2 John in the verses 9, 2 John and the verse is 9, when we start talking about doing what God requires of us, we can't do too little or we can't do too much. We can't overdo it. We can't say, "Well, you know, God said we can do this, so why not add this to it?" Here's what he says. Everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So we can't go against God's word. We have to stick with it as it is written. If it's not there, you can't make it be there. You can't go and pin it. Well, you can. You can scratch something out of your Bible and you can pin something in your Bible. It's not God's word. It doesn't matter. Amen. We have to look at what God's word says. And we have to do those things. Again, you can ride up and down Broadway at these different places of worship. You can go inside and you can look at what they're doing. And if you find something that's not according to God's word, ask the people about it, because you're going to see it. You're going to see people that are doing this, doing that, doing the other, and not doing what they're required to do. Their worship is in vain. But let's not allow our worship to be in vain. Then we find, again, ignorant worship. Ignorant worship. Oh, there are some people out there right now that are worshiping God, but yet they have not really been introduced to Him. They do not know God, but I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to make sure that I don't miss anything like these people that you find in Acts chapter 17. These people, Paul says, you know, I perceive that you are too superstitious, that you're too religious. And we have people like that today. Oh, if somebody else is doing it, we might as well do it too. Has to be right. That God hasn't struck them down yet. Their time is coming. Their time is coming. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. So people that are worshiping God in all sorts of ways but really don't know Him, they're ignorantly worshiping. They may be partaking of communion every Sunday. They may be giving every Sunday. They may be singing hymns the way they're supposed to be singing hymns. They may be doing this. They may be doing that. All things that God requires of them, but they really don't know God. They have not been introduced to Him. So why are they doing these things? Again, the Bible says they're doing them in ignorance. In Acts chapter 17, starting with the 22nd verse. So Paul, standing in the midst. Well, let's back up a little bit. I'm sorry. Let's back up to verse 20. For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean. Some strange things. He said, you're bringing to our ears. We want to know what they mean. Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners who live there would spend their time in nothing, telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagitus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. Now, this is really not a good thing. I just want y'all to know that right now. To be very religious, to be too superstitious, that's what one version said. I believe the King James called it too superstitious. But here it says that you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. This I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of the heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hands. I'm going to proclaim Him to you. That's what Paul tells them. And they need to know about God, because the gospel message has gone out to the four corners. It's out there. And there are some people that may be coming up that their people, their parents or their grandparents did not tell them about God. Maybe you're listening right now and no one has ever told you about God. Well, here Paul is telling them about God. He said, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of the heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Powerful God, isn't he? He doesn't need us. We need him. But these people were ignorantly worshiping him. Paul now is declaring him to them. Why? So that they can obey the truth. So that they can worship him in spirit and in truth. See, there are some people that need to be introduced to God. You don't know him? Get to know him. And in times coming, we're planning on talking about who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is. And I hope that you will listen to these things, and if you have not obeyed the gospel, that you will obey the gospel. Learning about God. Remember what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These people did not have faith in God, for they ignorantly worshiped him. How can you have faith in something that you do not know? Now, we haven't been to heaven. We haven't seen heaven, but we have faith that there is a heaven. Why? Because we believe in God's word. We're not ignorantly worshiping God in order to get to a place that we don't know about. We know about heaven from what we read in God's word. So let us understand that we need to do what's right. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. Paul says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. A zeal to do what's right, but not knowing what's right. Well, I appreciate your efforts, but that's not what I want. That's God. You know, for a person that is putting their all into something, but really not understanding, just think now how powerful that person can be if he or she knew what they were doing and followed all of that wrongdoing into something that's right. Look at Paul. He persecuted the church. Jesus, on the road to Damascus, shown himself in a bright light and asked him a very simple question. Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And I want us to understand that when Saul heard the voice of Jesus and heard what Jesus wanted him to do, he quit doing those things. Now, what he was doing, he did with a pure conscience. But when Jesus told him what to do, go ahead and go to Damascus. Go to the street that's called Straight. There's a man there by the name of Ananias. He's going to tell you what to do. Because that's what was asked of Jesus. Sir, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus told him what to do. And he did those things. He was introduced to Jesus. He was introduced about what the church is all about. He was introduced that he needed to have his sins washed away. And he did those things. But ignorantly worshiping God. You know, the Bible tells us something very important. There in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Because you hear that person from time to time saying, if I don't know, it will not be held accountable to me. Oh, yes. Just because you don't know is not an excuse. Just because you do not know does not give you a reason to do what's wrong. So these people that was worshiping God ignorantly, Paul declared him unto them. And it says in the Bible, in Acts chapter 17, verse 29 and 30, being then God's offspring, you are not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all people everywhere to repent. Why? Why does he command men everywhere to repent? Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus has came. Jesus has been crucified, he has been buried, he has been raised from the dead, he has ascended on high. And the world is going to be judged by him. That's what the Bible says. That's what we believe, that's what we teach. If you do not believe that, there's no way you're going to be obedient unto it. But know this, you're still not going to escape the judgment. If you are worshiping God ignorantly on today, not knowing who he is, and think that your worship is acceptable to him, you need to think again. There are people that are praying to God, but yet they don't know God. They don't know God because they have not been added to the body of Christ. That person is still going to be judged. So let us do what is right before God today. Let us understand that we need to repent of our sins and we need to be baptized in the watery grave of, baptism in order to receive a newness of life and to walk a newness of life. Let's do what's right. Then we find the self-willed worship. The self-willed worship. I believe God will be okay with this. It's what I want to do and it's what I'm going to do. Not worrying about, not thinking about what man has commanded, but just doing what I want to do. We have people like that, and those people, again, they are going to have to give an account. So we find in Colossians chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 16. Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. You eat what you want. You drink what you want. You celebrate whatever holiday out there you want to celebrate. But I want you to know that when you do those things, you need to make sure that God is all right with those things. You take him out of the equation in some of the things that you want to celebrate because he's not there and he never will be there. But if that's what you want to do and it is not, you know, provoking you, your conscience, pricking your conscience to say that those things are wrong, keep doing those things. But remember, do not put him in there because he doesn't want to be in there. And he continues and he says, there are a shadow of the things to come. Or these are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting or autism and worship of angels. The worship of angels. Now, I believe there's a lot of people that you may come in contact with that say, an angel has talked to me. I fell down and I worshiped that angel. He told me some good news. He told me what I need to do and how I need to do it. I want you to know this, that that's not true. That's not true. Somebody might have been talking to you, but it wasn't an angel from God. Could have been an angel, but it wasn't an angel from God. And even if it was an angel from God, I want you to know this. He did not have any permission to come and talk to you because God has not given him that permission. Go and read Galatians chapter 1, where Paul tells the church of Galatia, if I or an angel from heaven come and preach another gospel to you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. He didn't say it one time, but he said it twice. He said it twice. And I believe that when you read it and you see it in the Word of God, you need to believe it. You need to believe it. So we continue and we look at it and we see what the Scripture says. He says in verse, where am I at here? Let me get there. Shadow of things to come. And we're looking at verse 16 or 19. Let's go to verse 19. I'm skipping a little bit there, but we're going to go to 19. And not withholding fast the head, from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through his joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. In verse 20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why? As if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom and promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. But they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. The things that people make up, the things that people insert into what they want to call religion and worship of God, Paul said they can't help you. They're not going to stop you from committing any sin. But you do what you want to do. The choice is yours. But when you make the wrong choice and you worship God by self-willed worship, God does not accept that. But what does God accept? See, that's what we need to know, right? What does God accept? In John chapter 6. And we find with verse 28. In John chapter 6. Verse 28. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" That's what it all boils down to, right? When you say that my worship is in vain, how can I not have it to be in vain? When you say that I'm ignorantly worshiping God, what can I do in order to have my worship not to be ignorant? When it's self-willed, what can I do to say that it's not self-willed, but it's what God wants? That's the question that is asked right here. What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus, not man, not Peter, not Paul, but Jesus said or answered them, "This is the work of God. This is the work of God." So for you that are out there to say you can't work, there's nothing that you can do, you need to go and look at the scriptures. Because the Bible says, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Believe in Him that He has sent. That's a work. And you know, it's a work trying to get people to believe this as well. But it's something that God requires. He requires it because it is His will. So they said to Him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." You know who that bread is? It's the Son. He said, you believe in Him, the one that I sent. That's God's word. Jesus is repeating what the Father wanted Him to repeat. And these things must be accepted. So we think about it and we talk about it again. And the question that I want you to answer, how is your worship? Is it in vain? Is it ignorant? Is it self-willed? Or is it what God requires? To worship Him in spirit and in truth. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because we need to understand now, well, what is this spirit? How can I worship Him in spirit? Knowing again what the Bible teaches. That's what we're looking at this word that the Holy Spirit allowed men to write down, that you and I may be able to see it, that our worship may be acceptable unto God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. "But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him." God prepared it. It's His way. "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except for the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we import these in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual thoughts to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are of folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. You want to worship God in spirit and in truth? You go to the Word and you'll find out what the Word says. You'll do what the Father wants you to do in order for your worship to be acceptable unto Him. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse is 21. Ephesians 4 and the verse is 21. You can't worship Him again if you don't know Him. We have put Christ on. We have this new life. And he says right here, verse 20 and 21, but that it is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Spirit and truth. We're looking at what the Spirit has done for us, then we look at what Jesus has done for us. You want to know God's word? Listen to what the Spirit says. The Bible says the Spirit knows the Father. Does Jesus know him? Yes, Jesus knows him. But Jesus says that he is the truth. So we can't come and say, I'm going to worship you, God, and I'm going to worship you this way, and you are going to have to accept it. No. Who are we to tell God what he has to accept? What we have to do is we have to accept the word of God. And for those people that tell you that you can't know the truth, there's no way possible that you can understand what God wants you to do because things are always changing, that's not true. This word is not going to change for you. It's not going to change for me. If you don't like what it says, that doesn't mean that it's going to change. John 8:32. You can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. It's not something that you're listening to according to some man. It's not something that you're doing that you don't understand. It's not something that you're doing that you've made up. It's God's word that we need to be looking at. It's God's word that we need to be searching. It's God's word that we need to be applying to our lives. You can know the truth, and the truth can or will make you free. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse is 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse is 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You've been given what God wanted you to have. Why not do something about it? Why not put that into action? Why not allow these things to be stirred up in you that you may proclaim the word of God, that you may continue to live the way God wants you to live, that you may die in Christ and not out of Christ? Why not do those things? So if you had to take a test right now, and the test had these four questions. Actually, it's going to be five. The first question is your worship in vain? The next question, are you ignorantly worshiping God? The third question, is your worship self-willed? And the fourth question, how is your worship? How is your worship? I would hope that the first three answers would be no. And the second and the fourth answer would be my worship is in spirit and in truth. If you can't say that and you die, heaven will not, cannot be your home. So if you're here today and you're not a child of God, and you have been worshiping in vain, you have been ignorantly worshiping God, you have done things that you have made up, self-willed worship, and your worship is not in spirit and truth because you are not a member of the Lord's church, now is the time to become a member. Now is the time to come and confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, have your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism, rising to walk a newness of life, allowing your worship to be according to the will of the Father. If you're here and you're subject, please do not go away thinking that you're all right, knowing that you're not. Maybe you're here and you need to get your life right with God. We encourage you to do so as well, to confess your faults. Ask God to forgive you for your sin. If you need prayers of the congregation, allow that to be made known. We're always ready to talk to you about God's word, to talk to you about salvation. Do not let the opportunity pass you by, but accept what God's word says. If you're hearing your subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.